You're through to the Ross Owen Show. Who's calling?
Hi, Ross. It's Tom Urey.
Tom, how are you doing?
I'm fine. What a show. I'm thoroughly enjoying this. It's brilliant.
Tom Urey from Scotland, actor and musician, joining us. What a show we've had today, Tom. Pluck out your favourite scene or your favourite line from the film.
How sweary can I get?
You can get as sweary as you like.
Oh, tits bum fanny the lot. I mean, that's, everybody was hysterical. I mean, I think I was about 11 at the time. And that was just what everybody just kept saying. And, oh, look, the knickers. And the funny thing is, when you see the... if you go into the US Netflix and see the American dubbed version, everyone's talking like that.
Yes.
Oh, look, the knickers. But listen, I was just phoning in because you know that you were talking about Madeline was dubbed?
Yes.
I think I know who it was that did it. There's a writer that I know called Mercedes McGurn.
Right.
And I know that when she was a kid, she was somehow involved in Gregory's. I can't remember what it was. Her name's in the credits at the end. I think she did some overdubbing. You know the bit where the kid's voice goes, "Hello, Gregory," and he looks down and it's all kids?
Yes.
That's her. And she might have done Madeline as well. I don't know.
Are you sure that wasn't you that did that bit? Do that again.
I was only 11. But listen, you're asking me about Gregory's Girl. The thing that strikes me about it in retrospect is it was the first time that we saw Hollywood being accessible to us, I think. You went to the pictures and you saw Superman and you saw Jaws and you saw all these big Hollywood blockbusters. But this was the first time where you went, hang on, I could do this. You know, it was if you wanted to be an actor, you thought, well, there's a, you know, you don't need to go to Hollywood and do all that kind of stuff. You can actually just get the train up to Cumbernauld. This is the most simple way of looking at
sure,
it.
Sure, sure.
It kind of became exciting because you got excited about filmmaking and about... and it was a kind of renaissance in British cinema and, you know, Scottish cinema, because it led to Gregory's Girl and Comfort and Joy. And it was a kind of a really exciting time. And I think you wouldn't have had things like Trainspotting if you hadn't had Gregory's Girl.
If you could have been in Gregory's Girl, what part would you like to have played?
Oh, I think I would have wanted to be Pat Harkins' character.
Do you really? Pat's on next, actually. I've got Pat coming on next.
Is he?
He played
don't
Kelvin.
Don't touch that ravioli, it's garbage.
He had so many good bits in the movie. And I'm looking forward to talking to Pat and finding out how he got in there and he got from that to directing, which is what he's doing now.
Well, he's directed me. He sometimes directs in River City. So when I found out that he'd been Don't Touch the Ravioli, That's Garbage, and Gregory's Girl, you know, like, what? But you're a grown-up, you're an adult. It's strange to think it was 35 years ago. It's petrifying, actually.
And when you look at Pat, and then you look at the picture of Kelvin as a boy, can you see it?
Nah, I think he's kidding us on. He's just picked somebody random at the cinema and went, oh, that was me.
Listen, Tom, thanks for calling in.
All right, Ross, thoroughly enjoying the show. Can't wait to hear the rest of it. Keep going, mate.
Brilliant, thanks very much. Thanks. And we'll follow that through with Mercedes.
Aye, I'm sure, I think somebody, she was involved, I can't remember. Do you know, ask Pat, he might know.
Yes, okay.
He's on next.
Brilliant, thanks for the tip-off. Let's see if we can solve the mystery before the end of the show. Tom,
all right,
thanks for calling in, mate.
Cheers, Ross. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Sleepy cat, Bible black, honeysuckle, I would never do not wish. See what I don't get, the lie of deep end. Let me see what I don't pass through the heat. Come on, and pass through the heat. Catch a thief, a honey thief. I'm a thief, a honey thief. Okay. Should be love. I come to steal with stealth in the night. You got the sugar to satisfy.
With The Honey Thief. Now, my final guest on the show today played Kelvin in Gregory's Girl. Kelvin, of course, the little boy who delivered the classic line, "Don't touch the ravioli, it's garbage." Now a successful film and television director, Pat Harkins is on the line. Hello, Pat.
Hi, Ross, how you doing?
Now, Kelvin was a great character. He had some great lines. And when it came to selling cakes in the toilet, he was quite the businessman, wasn't he?
He was indeed, yeah, he was. And it's interesting because I think that was probably one of the few scenes that were actually scripted. The rest of the stuff with Kelvin, Bill Forsyth came up with as we went along, really. So it sort of grew arms and legs as a character, which was really nice, actually, because it was more, you know, he was there. He pops up throughout the film.
Yeah.
And it's, you know, and some of the best lines, as I said, weren't actually in the original script.
How old were you when you first started acting? Were you part of the Glasgow Youth Theatre as well?
No, I wasn't. I was afterwards. I was part of the Glasgow Drama Workshop. But I think that was probably around the time of Gregory's Girl, maybe after, I can't really remember. But I had been doing a drama club at school and stuff like that, and the odd little bit of theatre. So I hadn't really done an awful lot before Gregory's Girl.
So how did you land the role of Kelvin? Can you remember your first meeting with Bill?
I think the first meeting I had was the audition with Bill. And it was, I think they came at the school and were obviously looking for that part to be cast. And I think it was one of the few little parts that were still left. So I went along with a few other people to a house in Pine Road that in Abraham Hill, uh-huh, where the film was shot. And I think that was where they had a production base. And we had a little audition there. And I don't remember too much about the audition. I think we got to do it a few times and spoke to Bill and stuff. And then they got back to us pretty soon after, maybe a week or two afterwards, and said that I'd been lucky enough to get a part. So wow, that was that.
Now, you shared a few scenes in Gregory's Girl with the late Billy Greenleys, who played Gregory's pal, mm-hmm, Steve, the cook. What can you remember about filming those scenes with Billy? Did you know each other before filming?
No, I didn't know anybody.
Okay.
Any of the sort of main cast before filming. I knew some of the extras and some of the guys that had little bits and pieces to do it because they were from Cumbernauld as well. But there was obviously the nucleus of the cast, the young cast, came from Glasgow, came through that the youth theatre group that you mentioned earlier.
Uh-huh.
So I didn't know Billy, I didn't know Gordon, I didn't know any of those guys. So it was all new to me. The whole thing was new to me as well. So I really didn't have any preconceptions or anything about how it would be. It was just to turn up, do it, and, you know, got on with it, really.
Mm-hmm. Now, what was it like for you as a young boy being allowed to swear in the film, in the scene where you're watching a football match and you've got you do that line where you, I think you say to Gregory, "What a prick." Did you have to get permission from your parents before you done that, or was that an improvisation? Or
Bill asked us to say it basically, but again, I don't think that was in the original script, and I think we probably done a few variations on it, and then he just said, "Well, why don't you say this?" So, no, I think he probably saw it or knew about it the first time when he saw the film.
Brilliant. Now, everybody's been telling us their sort of personal memories of shooting the film. Do you have any sort of anecdotes or funny stories that you can share, anything you can remember from filming that stands out?
I think it's just an overall thing for me. I mean, for me, the idea of being involved in a film, it never entered my head. For me, you know, people who made films were like alien beings, you know, the chances of coming across MD or being involved in that world was so far removed from where I come from and what I was doing at the time and all that. So in my head, I think I sort of ran away with the circus and I realised that the people who made films were just like normal guys and normal women. Sure. So that was a real big thing for me. And after that, I realised that that's really what I wanted to do, and that's where I wanted to go. So it was like a bolt of lightning for me. Really. I sort of fell in love with the whole process of filmmaking and the you know, the kind of the camaraderie and the kind of the physical aspect of making films and you know, being on sets and everything else that I do.
Yeah.
So I kind of, as I say, ran away with it in my head.
So that your career now as a director all stems from being in Gregory's Girl, which is...
Yeah.
Did you take any inspiration from Bill?
Yeah, absolutely, because he was the first director that I ever came across, director that I ever came across. In fact, in the few occasions that Bill has, you know, bumped into my parents or whatever, he's always apologised for getting involved in the industry.
Now, what was the reaction like from your friends and your family after the movie came out at that time?
I think at that time, you know, living in Cumbernauld, people were generally quite supportive. I don't think anybody had any real expectations for the film. It was a little low-budget film. I mean, you know, we didn't know the difference between a low-budget film and a big-budget film at
sure.
the time. But I don't think anybody thought it was going to be the phenomenon that it has become.
Mm-hmm.
So really, retrospectively, you know, people are more interested in it now, I think, than they were 20 years ago. I mean, I think it's real, you know, it's a classic cult film.
Mm-hmm.
And that cult has grown and grown. So at the time, it was like, oh, he's in that wee film, and that's great and all that, and that was all fine. I mean, I just got on with the rest of my life afterwards, and, you know, continued to play football and be a normal teenager, as well as, you know, doing bits and pieces, more acting and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
until I was about 17.
Now, I've just received a message from one of our listeners in Los Angeles. Mike Rotman says, "I loved Gregory's Girl. It was very funny and full of heart. I watched it daily on HBO. It was on hourly." Can you believe that? It was on every hour on HBO. I had no idea Gregory's Girl had so much exposure in the States.
No. It's funny. I mean, it's it doesn't go away. That's the thing about it for me. And it's, you know, in a nice way, in a really nice way. You know, somebody will pop up and go, I heard that you were in that film, or you were in Gregory's Girl, and wow, well, that must have been amazing and stuff like that, or that's my favourite scene and stuff like that. So, I mean, people have got a great love for the film, enduring love for the film.
Mm-hmm.
And it is, you know, like I said earlier, it is a classic cult film. I mean, I watched, it's one of those rites of passage films, I think, that you watch with your kids as well.
Yeah.
In the way that, I mean, I watched with Neil and I, with my youngest son yesterday, because he hadn't seen it. And it's one of those kind of films, isn't it? You know, people can quote lines from it. People,
yes.
You know, remember small details
exactly.
from it. It's become a bit of a, you know, a film for anoraks as well, in the same way that With Neil and I is, and other films in that kind of ilk.
When you were on set, you didn't know anybody at the beginning, but who did you become friends with on set?
I think just, I mean, guys that I knew from playing football and stuff like that. I mean, we all sort of kept ourselves. So it was all really, you know, it was kind of local people. I mean, subsequently, I've become really friendly with the guy who was the first assistant director. You know, I know the woman who was the script supervisor, the continuity woman. I mean, they've been friends from, you know, for 30 years from, you know, from me working behind the camera, as it were. So I sort of know everybody who worked on that film, but as another, you know, in another facet of my life, sort of thing, another facet of my career. So, but at the time, it was very much not them and us in a them and us kind of way. It was just that they were the filmmakers who were coming into town, and we were the local kids who, and some of us got involved in it. And,
yeah,
you know, I would do a little bit of, you know, helping, you know, be a runner in the, you know, on the set and stuff like that, and going over the fish and chips round the corner for people at lunchtime and stuff like that, you know, going and order 20 fish suppers or whatever it was. So I guess that kind of hooked, you know, got me hooked on that aspect of it as well, on the production aspect of it.
Now, Alison Forster, who played Gregory's little sister Madeline in the movie, her voice was dubbed. And a lot of people didn't know that her voice was dubbed. And she didn't know herself until she saw the movie. And we're trying to find out who provided the voice. Now, just before you called in, Tom Urie called in to say that he reckons it was Mercedes McGurn. Can you shed any light on that?
I think he's right.
Oh, well, that sounds like a double confirmation with that then. That's good. Okay.
Yeah, pretty sure that it was Mercedes.
Now, do you have a personal favourite scene or line from the movie?
That's a really difficult one.
It is a tough one.
I mean, I do love, I love Gregory going to school. I mean, that cracks me up every time. You know, I'm thinking he's invisible running across the
school.
Yes,
just after he's met his dad.
Zigzagging. Yeah, yes. Yeah. I mean, you're just trying to, you know, figure out what is going through his head, you know?
I think it works very well with John Gordon Sinclair being so gangly as well. It just makes it that much funnier. Him diving around the pitch. Now, what are you working on at the moment, Pat?
I'm actually doing some River City at the moment.
Oh, are you? Oh, River City's great. There's some wonderful storylines and some really great actors around at the moment. And, you know, I'd love to see Rab Buchanan making his acting comeback in River City. We were just talking about that earlier on the show. Do you still dabble in acting as well, or are you just totally directing them?
No, I haven't. I made a decision when I was 17 that I didn't want to do it anymore. So I've been involved. I was a prop man for about 10 years after that, working in films, and then I started directing after that. Really, so I've been directing for about 20 years. I've got no ambition to be in front of the camera. Absolutely not.
Wow. Now, it's the 35-year anniversary, so we can't let you go without asking you to close the show with your famous ravioli line. Would you do it for us one time?
Okay, absolutely. Don't touch the ravioli. It's garbage.
Brilliant. Thanks, Pat. Listen, best of luck with your career. We wish you all the very best of success. Thanks for taking time out to join us today on the show.
Thanks very much, Ross. Take care.
Cheers, mate. Thank you. Cheers,
bye,
Pat.
Bye. Black Sky Radio.
Well, folks, thanks for tuning into the show. I hope you lasted the pace. If you missed the start of the show, you can visit the website and you can download the full show. That's on www.therossowenshow.com. Thanks again for tuning in. I'll see you next week with Ricky Gervais and Kevin Pollock talking about special correspondence. A big thank you to all my guests today. I'll see you next week here on Black Sky Radio.
come up to my place.